I want to read Luke chapter 15, please. Luke 15. We're going to read verse 17. This is a well-known portion of the Bible. I believe most here would have heard of it. We're just going to read one verse. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger." Now you can keep your finger in the book of Luke because we're coming back. And turn to the Old Testament, to the book of Lamentations. Chapter 1. Lamentations 1 and verse 12. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above he hath sent fire into my bones, and it prevailed against them. He hath spread a net for my feet, and hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day." Now back to the book of Luke for final reading in chapter 23. We'll read at verse number 40, verse 39. Luke 23, verse 39. "And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we, indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss." I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word. Now in the last few minutes of this meeting, I just want to leave three questions with you, especially those that are not saved. The first question is a question of a boy that understood he was not saved. He knew that. Nobody had to tell him. He knew he was lost. He knew he was far from God. He knew he was far from home. And to paraphrase his question, or put it in our words, his question was, "What am I doing here?" The second question was a question of the Lord Jesus. It was asked in prophecy hundreds of years before he came to this world. And it's a question that was asked from the cross. "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me, wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger." Does Calvary mean nothing to you? And lastly, the question of the thief on the cross that I would like to direct to you: dost not thou fear God? Let's look at these questions then. The first one, here's a boy, you know the story well. Here's a boy that took his own way, charted his own course, went into the far country, left the influence of his father's home, got away from the gospel, got away from the influence of a godly parent, at least one, probably two, got out from under the influence of Christians, took his own way, and finally got to the end of his rope. Got to the place where he finally, the Bible says, came to himself. He went a long way to get there, but he finally came to himself. He finally came to the point where he was willing to talk to himself. I know some people think if you talk to yourself, you got money in the bank. Well, I talk to myself and I don't have any money in the bank. And I hope if you're not saved tonight, you'll do some talking to yourself. You know, unless you're willing to sit down with yourself, that is, stop. Nobody gets saved on the fly or on the run. Nobody gets saved by accident. Nobody trips into God's salvation. And nobody will end up in heaven by accident. It'll be by a deliberate act of trust, by deliberately taking the time to search this out. And so I trust that even tonight you'll stop and ask yourself this one question. What am I doing in my sins? What am I doing here? Get the picture now. Here's a boy that had everything handed to him. Spoon-fed the gospel. Knew it well. Knew that Christ had died. I'm putting it in our language now, New Testament 1980 language, okay? Here was a boy that was raised in a Christian home. Here was a boy that knew all about Christ's death upon the cross of Calvary. Maybe you do. And yet he decided, I'm going my way. And he went. And he finally got to the place where he was all alone, nobody else to talk to but pigs. So he talked to himself. He's sitting down in the muck. I can just picture him. He's sitting in the muck with the pigs grunting around him, and he says, what am I doing here? What am I doing sitting in this mess? What am I doing in my sins? And his mind goes back to the way he was raised. His mind goes back to his father's house. And he starts to think of less fortunate people than himself that are enjoying God's salvation. He thinks about the slaves in his father's house. And what's his thoughts? They have bread enough and to spare. And I'm perishing with hunger. I wonder, friend, have you ever honestly asked yourself, what am I doing still in my sins? I know the gospel. I know Christ has died. I've seen others saved. I know of others far less privileged than myself. And they've come in. They've eaten of the bread of the gospel. They've drank the water of life freely. And they're enjoying God and God's fellowship. And here I am sitting in my sins. I wonder if that shoe fits you tonight. Sitting in your sins, and you've never stopped to ask yourself, what am I doing here? You see, unless you'll stop and ask yourself that, you'll probably never do anything about it. You'll probably just drift your way through your days and through your nights and into a lost sinner's eternity. Unless you'll come to grips with that question, what am I doing in my sins? What am I doing here? And then honestly evaluate it in the light of what you know from God's Word. Then there's a question asked by the Lord Jesus in prophecy, a question speaking of what he went through upon the cross of Calvary. Jeremiah says it like this, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? My mind goes to the time when the high priest and the priests and the scribes and the Pharisees walked by the cross of the Lord Jesus, mocking, wagging their heads and mocking. The soldiers who were gambling at the foot of the cross and making light of the death of the Lord Jesus. The people who had listened to the words of the Lord Jesus as he spoke in Jerusalem. And now they're walking by the cross, a great day. They're making fun, and they're poking at him and saying, "Ah, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, come down from the cross and we'll believe you." And yet the question that's going through the Lord's mind is this: doesn't this mean anything to you, all ye that pass by? I wonder, friend, have you ever stopped to consider, honestly, consider Calvary? You know the story well. I'll only go over it briefly. But there on the cross of Calvary, God himself was punishing his son for your sins. He bore what none other could ever bear. He bore the weight of your sin and mine. He bore the weight of the sin of the whole world. Peter says it like this: who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree. There he bore something that these people weren't even considering. They were passing by. They were going on. They were just continuing through their day. They'd seen other people crucified. But he said, "Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Don't you understand that from above he set fire into my bones?" And it prevailed against them. It wasn't just a crucifixion, friend. It wasn't just another man dying on a cross. It was Christ Jesus offering himself a sacrifice for our sins. He laid down his life, and in doing so, he became the sacrifice, the one that felt the fire from God. Have you ever considered that your sins deserve the wrath of God? You know that. Especially if you've been raised under the sound of the gospel. You know that your sins deserve nothing but the wrath of God. You probably won't admit it, but you know that. But friend, have you ever considered that on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus took that wrath that you deserved? Doesn't that mean anything to you? Have you ever stopped to consider that all that you have committed, he was charged with? That's what he says. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Doesn't his death mean anything to you? He didn't die an ordinary death. He wasn't dying upon the cross. He was being crushed beneath the wrath and load of your sin and the wrath of God. And he said, doesn't it mean anything to you that all your sin and all the wrath of God that you deserved, he was being charged with it all? And he died for it. Is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? I wonder how many times you've passed by the cross of Christ. If you were to add up the number of gospel meetings you've sat in, the number of tracts or gospel verses you've read, and every time you've walked by the cross of Christ, and you just keep passing by. You know something, friend? If it doesn't soon mean something to you, one of these days the cross of Christ is going to mean an awful lot to you. But it'll be too late. One of these days, the cross of Christ is going to spell your doom forever and forever. Tonight, you might laugh at it. You might not consider it. You might pass right on by. I hope not. I pray you don't. You might go on by the cross of Christ again tonight like you've done hundreds of times in the past. But one of these days, the cross of Christ is going to mean everything to you. Because when you reject Him once too often, it's the cross of Christ that'll spell your doom. The writer of the Hebrews put it like this. Those that rejected Moses' law died under two or three witnesses. But of how much sorer punishment suppose you is he thought worthy of that tramples underfoot the blood of Christ, that passes by the cross and says it's nothing to me. You see, the blood of Christ, the cross of Christ that you pass by, that you trample underfoot, that you count as an unholy thing, that you go on by, that these people pass by, and it's nothing to you tonight, in that day will mean everything to you, because your punishment will be meted out, your eternity in destruction will be judged accordingly as to how you pass by the cross of Christ. The Lord Jesus looked at Jerusalem, He looked at Capernaum, He looked at the cities of Galilee and the towns, and He wept over them. And He said, listen, if Sodom and Gomorrah, if Tyre and Sidon had the privileges that these towns had and you people had, they would have repented. It'll be far more tolerable for them than for you, because they never had the privilege that you had. Doesn't it mean anything to you, friend, as you pass by the cross of Christ? Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by? I want you just to stop for a minute and consider the Lord Jesus Christ. John stopped the people one day. He said, stop! Turn around and take a look. There's the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. You know, every single person that'll ever be in heaven has a time in their life when they stopped and took a look at the Lamb of God. It means a lot to me as I passed by the cross of Christ. I saw for the first time there was one who bore my sin. I saw for the first time in the death of the Lord Jesus that Christ died for the ungodly. He died for me. It means everything to me. Does it mean nothing to you, friend? Is it nothing to you that passed by? Take a good look at the Savior. Lastly, I want you to consider this question as if you were about to enter eternity. Now, I know you don't consider yourself about to enter eternity. Nobody does. You don't consider that you're right on the threshold, that tonight's your last night. None of us do. I got some statistics. I don't know if... Yes, I've got them with me. A friend of mine looked these up and gave them to me. 104 people die every single minute. Now, out of a gathering like this, out of a city this size, 104 people every minute, sooner or later the odds are going to get you. Sooner or later. Well, there was a man that asked a question and he knew his time was up. So the question means a lot more to him than probably it will to you. This man knew that it's only a matter of hours, and I'm going out. He was nailed to a cross. His blood, life's blood, was flowing from his veins. He was put there to die. And he was dying for his own sins. We don't even know his name. And he turns to another man who's mocking the Savior, and he says, "Friend, don't you fear God? You're going out. Don't you fear God?" I remember speaking to a man by the name of Mr. Bennett. I sat in his office in a town called Grand Bank. And when he found out I was a preacher of the gospel, he says, "Well, preacher, have a preach." He said, "I won't be coming out to your meetings." He said, "But you're here, have a preach." So I preached to him John 3:16. I preached for about 15 minutes, just him and me. And he says, "I'd rather go to a church that has some music and some entertainment. That's too straight." 6 months later, same man, really what he was saying is, "I don't fear God. I'm not afraid of dying." 6 months later, everybody left that man's room in the hospital because he was cursing and damning God as he went out into eternity. Loaded with cancer, racked with pain, he was gone. No fear of God. Dost not thou fear God? Here's a man on a cross, and he's come to the 11th hour. He's probably come to within a few hours of his death. He knows he's going out. He knows he's going to meet his Maker. And he can't believe his ears. Here's a man right next to him, and he's going out to meet his Maker. He's going out to meet God. He's going to give an account. And he's mocking the Son of God. He's turning by the cross of Christ. He's saying, "It doesn't mean anything to me." And he says, "Man, don't you fear God?" I want to ask you that question. And I want you to consider as if you were on the edge of eternity. And you are going out tonight. Do you fear God? How would you feel if you were called to stand face to face with God tonight and give an account? Because we'll all give an account. Every man shall give an account. Everyone will stand before God. Dost not thou fear God? Is there no fear of God before your eyes? And I'll use that in both ways. If I was going out to meet God tonight and I was in my sins, I would be afraid. To put it in English, I would be terrified. I would be afraid of meeting a holy God in all my sins. Neighbor, you should be afraid to stand before a righteous God. You've probably never bowed your knee in life, but I'll tell you, you'll bow a shaking knee then. But then there's another sense of that word, "Dost not thou fear God?" Is there no sense of awe? Have you ever considered the awesomeness and the holiness of God, and yet the love of God? Somehow this thief on the cross, the one that asked this question, I'm not sure how, but somehow he recognized the Lord Jesus as a king. Maybe it was the sign up over his head that said, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." But he recognized him as a king. Maybe it was the crown of thorns upon his head. Maybe it was the dignity in which he treated the men that were nailing him to the cross. Maybe it was the way he prayed. Maybe it was what he heard before from the lips of the Lord Jesus as he preached in Jerusalem. Maybe it was what he heard and seen in the miracles that the Lord Jesus and the disciples did. I don't know. But somehow this man came to fear God and to fear the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says, Lord, remember me. And he turned to the Lord Jesus Christ out of a fear of God, out of a reverence for God, out of a sense of the presence of God. He knew that God was in this place. He knew that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was coming into a kingdom. And he says, Lord, remember me when you come, when thou comest into thy kingdom. My friend, would you not like to be in the kingdom of God? Would you not like to be in the kingdom of his dear Son? Would you not like your sins forgiven? That's what this man got. Because there was a time in his life when he feared God. Dost not thou fear God? He went further than that. He said, seeing thou art in the same condemnation. In other words, you're dying. Seeing you're dying, man. And is there anyone here that's not dying? Anyone here not dying? Oh, you're in the same condemnation then. Don't you fear God, seeing you're going out to an eternity without him? That's what he was saying. Seeing you're in the same condemnation, you're nailed to a cross, you're about to go out, don't you fear God? He said, I do. Lord, remember me. Out of the fear of God, he turned to Christ. Didn't say the right words, did he? You say, I'd never be saved by saying, Lord, remember me. Why not? There's no right words for being saved. There's no formula, A, B, C. There's a right person, Christ. There's a right way, his finished work. And here a thief on a cross recognized that there's a man dying on that middle cross that is none other than the Lord. He's dying for me. And right there is the Lord, remember me. Were to be someone here simple enough to ask themselves the question, what am I doing in my sins? What am I doing still sitting in my sins when Christ has died? What does Calvary mean to me? What has Christ done for me upon the cross of Calvary? And then out of the fear of God, simply receive him. Shall we pray? Father, we ask thy blessing upon the preaching of thy word. We ask that thou wilt use it to convict and to convert some poor sinner who's still in their sins. We ask it for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ in his name. Amen.